Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
This is wonderful.
Can I ask you, so you just recorded another show that you do, Besties.
Besties is another show I do that I did just record.
What do you do to switch gears and get in the wonderful space?
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked.
I was just curious.
I like to take a little morning constitutional, just a
bathroom.
No, like I feel I really immerse myself in the city, I guess.
Oh.
And I get some good D from the sun.
I mean,
reconnect with nature.
You did just finish like 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, I was very fast with my constitutional.
Okay.
Went out into the city, connected with nature, fresh air, meditation, prayer.
Okay.
And then I look at myself in the mirror. And I scream. I scream and I scream. Mostly about Pac-Man, Tetris, game stuff. Like, get the game
get
stuff
it all
out of my system. That's a big thing. Like, if we ever do this show right after we record Taz, like, I'll take my dice and I'll, like, try to eat one of them.
Just to cleanse any last bit.
The palate, yeah. To get all the bits out. Because I want to be fully honest with you. I don't want there to be any artifice in this show.
Is it going to be hard for you? So I just got out of the shower and I'm wearing a little towel, a little turby twist on my head.
Yeah.
Is that going to be hard for you?
No, I think it's cute.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay, good.
I mean, you're also wearing overalls. You got a bold look going on right now, but it's the look of our generation.
I almost put on a yellow shirt again.
Yeah. It was very funny last time you did that, and I think it was Travis said you were cosplaying as a minion.
It was Travis. And what was funny, we were on tour, and he was exactly right. I was wearing my little blue shorteralls and like a yellow t-shirt. And Travis told that to Griffin in confidence, and then Griffin immediately ran and told me.
It was fucking funny. It was so funny.
It was undeniably funny. And then Travis was very embarrassed that you told me directly.
But he may have pretended to be embarrassed, but I also know the satisfaction he feels with a well-executed
The whole room got a laugh out of
joke.
It.
Yeah. It was fantastic. Do you have a small wonder?
I do. Actually, I wanted to shout out, speaking of tour, when we were at Dragon Con, one of the questions I got was like, what new poet or poem are you into? And my first thought was like, I mean, every time that happens, I immediately do it on the show.
Yeah, sure.
But I will recommend, there is a Twitter account, a woman named Nikita Gill, who constantly tweets poems and poets. And I started following her, and it's been a great resource for me to get new stuff.
That's great.
So I would recommend that if you are like, one poetry corner a month, that's not enough for me.
Yeah.
You should follow that account.
We've been watching Severance,
the
show that's got Adam Scott in it, directed by Ben Stiller, about a workplace where your memories are severed from the rest of your life and the sort of implications of that concept.
It's a bleak show, and I think Griffin and I were hesitant to dip in because our evening time is so limited, but then we did.
It's so damn fascinating.
And we're in it now.
The idea is so existentially kind of like, I mean, horrifying, but also because the work selves basically are trapped and are unable to access their memories from outside, and so it's all about, it really does explore the implications of that from both sides in a way that is like, I don't know, it's amazing. It's really, every episode, I feel like they add some wrinkle to it that kind of makes it hard to stop watching the show.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So difficult watch, but it's, I don't know, I think it's a cool show.
It has kind
of
like a mystery, like thriller element to it as you try and kind of figure out the whole situation and the consequences of it. Which really hooked us in.
The cast is out of sight.
Yeah.
Patricia Arquette, John Turturro, Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Adam Scott puts on a real clinic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I really like it. It's on Apple TV Plus, if that's something you use. I think I go first this week. Wonderful.fyi has stopped updating. Yeah. I hope everything's okay with the folks who are operating that. It's a lot of work. I get it.
Yeah.
So we're kind of just going on what feels right.
What feels right.
I think it is me.
It feels right to me.
I'm going
to
bring music.
Yes.
The gift of music to the show, which I haven't done in a while, but I've been listening to this artist just nonstop lately. Her name is Indigo D'Souza, and she is, get this, an indie rock singer, songwriter, female vocalist.
So you played this in the car the other day, this artist.
Did I? Oh, probably.
When we were like driving to Scramble.
Yeah.
And it sounded so familiar because it had that kind of indie rock energy of a lot of the artists that we've recommended on this show.
I mean, I've talked about Snail Mail, I think. Before. I think you may have actually talked about Snail Mail.
Yeah,
you
may
have been the one to bring that. But this is very much to my type of music that I bring.
But
here.
Like, I heard it, this song that you shared with me, and I was like, I really like this song. But then I was kind of embarrassed because I was like, is this somebody I already know? So I didn't say anything.
I don't think so. So yeah. Our friend.
So I was I was glad when you shared this with me because I was like, oh, that's who we were listening to because I really liked it.
Yeah. So our group of friends in Austin, we have like a text thread going, and occasionally we'll all like drop music recommendations and stuff in there. So our friend Johnny actually is the one who
really
Johnny's got
some number one hits.
He really does.
Yeah.
I'll play the song that he sent here in a bit because it was the first song of hers that I heard. But she fucking rules. She's been making her own music since she was 9, self-producing her own album since 2016. She has 2 albums out, the first of which was self-produced and then re-released when she got picked up by a label called Saddle Creek Records called I Love My Mom is the name of that album, which is true. She does. I believe the art for all of her albums is made by her mom. And it's pretty wild. Last year, though, she released her first full album with Saddle Creek called Any Shape You Take. And it is spectacular. It is such a good album front to back. It's one of those that I will just... I don't listen to full albums. Like, that's not really how I've talked about this on the show before, but this is one, Any Shape You Take is one that I will always dive into. So before I talk too much about, like, what her music sounds like, I'll play it, and then you can hear it, and then I don't have to describe it as much. This is the first song of hers I heard. It's from Any Shape You Take. It's a song called Way Out.
I'm looking for a way out, a way out.
That song lived pretty rent-free in my head all summer, most of this year, honestly, if I'm being honest.
I love that kind of, like, moody, guitar-y, like, I don't know.
It's very moody and guitar-y, yes.
Yeah.
I would grant both of those things. It has a grunge feel at times.
I'm always excited because you're into, like, a lot of electronic music.
Yeah.
And so I'm always excited when you bring an artist to me that's, like, kind of more in what I feel is my wheelhouse, which is, like, kind of grungy.
I oscillate these days between those two categories for the most part. Uh-huh. It's just so... Her music is just so interesting and so like enthralling. She does the thing, and this is like incredibly, I don't know, such a surface level observation about music, and I acknowledge that. But the way that she kind of moves between like really ferocious vocals and lyrics to like really vulnerable and tender vocals and lyrics, building to these like just grungy rockin', like surprisingly catchy riffs, and like the subject matter of her songs are like really another overused term, but confessional about like past relationships and friendships and death and stuff like that, and so that is very vulnerable too, and then it gets like transgressive and kind of taboo sometimes, like. She plays with extremes in a way that I know a lot of, you can make that observation about a lot of musical artists, but like, I can't think of anybody who does it better that I've been listening to lately than Indigo D'Souza. It's really, really affecting. It's really heavy shit sometimes, but I really love it. So I think the fact that while you're listening to her kind of go between those extremes and she is talking about like deeply personal stuff kind of amplifies how you can't kind of put it down. It's like Pringles.
Okay. No, I'm sure she gets that all the time.
Her music is a lot like Pringles.
That's, I think, what Pitchfork said.
I've seen a lot, just to sort of like encapsulate her vibe, I saw a lot of reviews refer to her music as nervy, which feels good, which feels apt to me. But like, I don't know. I feel like it is easy to, as I'm describing it, like make her music sound like painful. But really, like, they're extremely catchy and use like repetition of different like riffs and lyrics in a way that just, it cannot help but get deeply embedded in your skull, which, like, I don't typically think of music like this as being catchy, but yet here we are, which I think speaks to, like, a deft songwriting hand. I want to play my favorite song of hers as we depart this segment together, called Darker Than Death, which, like, I can't stop humming, which you wouldn't expect from a song called Darker Than Death, but here it is.
You were darker than death when I spoke to you last. You were darker than death when I spoke to you last. Was it something I said? Was it something?
So yeah, I've just been listening to this album, Any Shape You Take, nonstop for most of this year, and I just can't recommend it enough. I'll warn that some of the lyrics and subject matter of the songs get kind of troubling, particularly in what I believe is the final song on the album called Kill Me. So be forewarned, but that's also kind of part of the thing. So yeah, that's Indigo D'Souza.
I'm glad that you brought a music artist. It's been a while.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I guess I'm kind of a music guy.
No, I know that about you.
I guess you could say that I'm sort of a music nut.
I know that you're kind of like trying to put on an affect right now, but I think that is actually true.
Yeah, no, I'm a nut for music.
Uh-huh.
I love this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Got a bubble pop here, and I'd love to read it because it is for Lauren with an O, and it's from, get this, Dorian, who says, happy birthday. I hope you're enjoying your newly finished developing prefrontal cortex. I treasure your friendship dearly, and though you may have moved away by the time you hear this, I'm sure I'm still texting you nonstop about whatever book we're reading. Love you. Let's watch Naruto soon. Had to take a couple runs at that. I'm always unsure where the emphasis in the word Naruto goes.
Your commitment to correct pronunciation is admirable.
Naruto is another uh-huh. take that you could
that's
have.
That's probably it.
So, Rachel, when you edit this, if you could just take, I'm just going to say Naruto in like a bunch of different ways, and you just use whichever one
okay.
you think sounds good. Naruto.
Are elephants right-handed?
What's the middlest size in the universe?
What is the history of fan fiction?
Let's find out together on our show, Let's Learn Everything, where we learn anything and everything interesting.
My name's Caroline, and I studied biodiversity and conservation.
My name's Tom, and I studied computer science and cognitive blah, blah, blah.
Did you? And my name's Ella, and I studied stem cells and regenerative medicine.
On our show, we do as much research as you would for a class, but we don't get in trouble for making each other laugh.
And we get to say f***.
Maybe not in the trailer.
Subscribe to Let's Learn Everything every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Are you ready to binge watch something old?
The Greatest Generation is a podcast about Star Trek by a couple of hosts a little bit embarrassed to even have a Star Trek podcast. Hosted by me, Ben Harrison.
And me, Adam Pranica. We get into the critical, the technical, the science fictional aspects of the show we love, while roasting it and each other at the same time.
We've completed an entire series about Star Trek The Next Generation, and another one about Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and we've just begun Star Trek Voyager. So now is a great time to start watching a new Star Trek series with us.
So subscribe to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and become a friend of DeSoto today.
What are you working with over there?
So my thing this week was another thing I kind of stumbled into backwards.
Did that hurt?
No, it was soft fall.
Oh, okay, good.
I kind of knew what I wanted to talk about, but I didn't really know what it was called. And then I found what it is called, and what it is called is homograph.
I don't think I know what that is.
That is when a word is spelled alike, but different in meaning or derivation or pronunciation. So like the bow of a ship or a bow and arrow, like a word that has multiple meanings.
But it's the same damn word.
Yeah, exactly the same. Like not like one of those homonyms, the word is the same. The definitions are different.
I can't imagine being a non-native English speaker and just how fucking cruel this word is to speak.
That's fair. So the word I wanted to talk about specifically was run.
Run. Yeah, huh.
Uh-huh. So are you familiar with the Oxford English Dictionary?
Do
you know the deal with it?
Love it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It has everything.
I mean, that is true.
It's got it all, folks. It even has some of the dirty words.
It has 600,000 words. And I became familiar with it in grad school. I took some, Shakespeare courses. And, a lot of times, with Shakespeare, he's, inventing words.
Yeah.
Basically, the first written usage of a word is in Shakespeare.
Yeah, he made up most of the words.
So we spent a lot of time with the OED, as we called it, just casually.
God, that's cool.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I know. But basically, it just shows, the history of words and different usages of the words. And they issue revisions every so often, and you always hear about, this word's now in the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yeah, I feel like there's a big sort of, social media grab that happens every year where it's like, what's up, guys? It's us, Oxford. Yeet! Is in it now.
Yeah. So the next print run is expected in 2037.
Oh, God, I can't wait. Are you kidding me?
But we got a little teaser with run, which is going to have 645 meanings.
Shush.
So it's going to be the word with the most meanings.
How big is this book?
I mean, it's a big one. Run is going to have 75 columns of type. Apparently, it took a lexicographer 9 months of research to complete run.
Ridiculous.
Just by itself.
I think I could tell you five runs.
Okay. Do you want to?
Go fast.
Uh-huh.
Computer program.
Uh-huh.
A baseball score.
Okay.
Water can run.
Okay.
I think that might be just about all I got, actually. That's just four. And how many did you say there were? Because I did four.
There are 645.
Okay, so four is not bad.
No, I mean, you're a percentage of the way there.
What are some other runs?
Okay.
I guess you can run for office.
Yes.
That's five. Okay. I feel good about five.
You can run a fever.
Yeah.
You can run a bath.
Yeah.
You can run up a bill.
God almighty, there really are a lot of ways to use the word run.
You can get a run in your stockings. You can run over on your budget.
Run DMC.
Run DMC. I don't think that one's in there.
Ha ha. Take that, Oxford.
How would you use that in a sentence?
Hey, look, is that Run DMC? Hey, look, I'm at the airport, and I think that's Run DMC on my flight.
Logan's Run. That's
Logan's
another one.
Run is another great one.
There's also, like, when something runs out, when you run over a nail in a parking lot.
Why is there so many?
When you run amok.
That doesn't feel right to me.
No?
No.
Should we get rid of that one?
Yeah, get rid of that one.
So it used to be set. Back, like, I guess that was a more popular, like, in the English, like, over on the European side.
The word set?
Set, yeah.
I could see that, yeah.
You set something down, there's a movie set, is your watch set.
Things come in a set of...
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But now Run has surpassed it.
Congratulations, Run. I knew you had it in you.
I read a few articles about this, and they kept citing this author, Simon Winchester, who I guess has written specifically about, like, usage in the Oxford English Dictionary, and they asked him directly, like, why do you think run is being used so often? And he suggests that it's just kind of the, quote, feature of our more energetic and frantic times.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep.
So other words with, like, a lot of meanings, go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one feels...
Like, how does a song go? Where did you go? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Take, stand, get, turn, put, fall, strike, all those. Okay. Verbs. I mean, verbs mostly, you know.
Yeah,
if you think about it, that would, I mean, that would do it.
Sure.
Yeah, so I like the, I mean, as somebody who likes poetry and likes language play, like, this is a really kind of
you
a fun.
You love language play.
Kind of a fun.
A little too much, if you ask me. Sometimes it's like, babe, I'm tired. Babe, it's been such a long day. The baby's been keeping us up. I don't have time for language play. I don't think I have the energy for it.
It's not unusual for me to do this thing with Griffin where we'll be, like, kind of working out a bit just for us.
Yeah.
And I'll go quiet for, like, 20 minutes, and then I'll just say something, and Griffin will be like, have you been thinking about this the whole time? And I will say yes.
Yeah. It's great.
Okay.
It's good fun for all of
us. I'm glad that you like it as much as I do. Yeah, so I don't know. This is a short one, but I just...
This is a short episode. It's starting to seem like it may be our shortest episode ever.
Should we do more japes?
I guess we can. You got any, what else has been going on in your life?
This is really the only time we have that's dedicated to talk to each other.
So that is
we could take advantage true. Of it, I suppose.
How are you liking that big city life, that big city lifestyle?
I do actually like it. I still, and I think this will be true for, like, the next year, I still, like, have these moments where I'm like, I'm in the city. I'm a city person.
Yeah. I have had those less, I would say, since I feel like once Henry started school and work kind of got buck wild
really,
again,
yeah.
I haven't been just going on train rides to go get boba tea.
Once you get that bike, that's the thing. Like, I ride my bike to work and, like, I rode it to the bank today. And
yeah.
It feels very much just like...
I feel like once I get a bike, everything else just kind of, all the other city stuff falls into place. Like, I will start really enjoying boba tea. I don't know why that's a city thing
in
my mind.
Yeah, I don't either. It surprises me that you like that, actually.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't think, well, maybe I've just never had good boba tea.
I feel like texture is important to you, and I feel like the texture of
like
that
squishy
is...
squishy balls in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember Orbitz?
Yes.
Wild stuff.
For sure.
For sure, for sure. So you watch anything else good lately, or tried to watch that new Lord of the Rings show last night?
Oh yeah,
I couldn't crack into it. Couldn't crack in. I was like, "Where's Viggo?" You know what I mean?
So is this like the kind of thing like Marvel where they're like really plumbing the depths of what characters they haven't covered?
Well, not insofar as. Tolkien really plumbed those depths pretty hard himself.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I'm wondering if there's like, if they're pulling stuff that wasn't in the films and they're now like, oh, what about this guy that had 17 pages? We could talk a whole show about
him. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of the whole gimmick. That's more or less what the Hobbit films were too, where it was like, y'all like Tom Bombadil? You know, Tom Bombadil. Let's go. We're going to have a whole hour long Tom Bombadil sequence and you guys are going to eat that shit up.
To my father's great dismay, I have never read The Hobbit.
No, or seen any of the films.
Yeah, I've tried to watch a Lord of the Rings film. And didn't
yeah.
Work.
I think after watching Lord of the Rings, I think at some point over the last year, I watched all of the Lord of the Rings movies and the Hobbit movies, which I had never seen anything but the first one, which I didn't care for. And they weren't great. And then I've watched a little bit of the show. And it's really just made me appreciate the Lord of the Rings movies more, because I think that those are great and I cannot really hang with any of the other stuff.
I think I will watch those movies once Henry is old enough to watch them.
Oh, that's interesting. That'll be a while. There's a lot of beheading, like way more than you would think.
Well, it's just the amount of time, the commitment. Like,
yeah, sure.
I'm not going to commit to something like that unless, you know, it's like a family activity.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this is just going to be a short one, folks.
Is that a show?
Listen, I'm not going to make excuses, but, and so I won't.
We're running late.
We're running a little bit late. We're running a little bit ragged.
So we're expediting the recording process to get the show to you quicker.
Yeah.
Like a Jimmy John's.
Only without all of the sort of deeply problematic big game hunting associated with that sandwich brand.
That's fair.
This has been the show. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our song. For the use of our thong. It's comfortable, sexy.
Yeah.
Really squishes them together.
Oh, is that? Okay.
Is that a feature?
Not typically.
Okay. Money Won't Pay is the name of the song, and you can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. There's a lot of great shows on there. We have some tour dates coming up. And boy, howdy, if you live in San Jose or Denver, it'd be great if you bought tickets to come see our show. We announced them pretty late, and ticket sales have not been blowing up. So don't be shy, you know, because there could be a run, and maybe you'll miss out if you don't do that. But just go to bit.ly/McElroy Tours or go to McElroy.family and come see us. It's going to be a fun old time. And then we're also doing Cincinnati, Detroit, and Washington, D.C., which I believe we're going to do wonderful. To open up in Washington,
yeah, we're gonna have to develop some expertise real quick.
I mean, I'm already right there, man.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I know where all the good stuff is.
Okay, the boba tea,
the boba tea, the hot dog, where the good Target is.
Uh huh.
The real good Target, the one where that dog. And that old lady with the big glasses, they're there.
Whoa.
Isaac Mizrahi working the registers.
That's your go-to. I don't think he has a line at Target anymore.
Oh. Well, I don't. That's all I knew about that man. That man. So
well,
I
you still have the dog.
Aside.
The dog, I think,
the
is
dog
still
and the old lady
relevant.
Who were in commercials 20 fucking years ago. We love them. We love them.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.